Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zach R. Skadden coming to you from North Carolina. And today we want to remember the place that the Lord has set before us in allowing the exposing to occur, as we are in a season where the exposure is important. We have to remember that as we go about these times that we are in, and understanding what the Lord is wanting to do in this season to get us to really recognize the place where we're at, and to take the authority and the seat in the position that the Lord has called us to in this day and age of the earth that we are living through. And I want to start off in the Word of God as usual, but I want to really, really focus in on a portion of Scripture that I think we all understand and know, but I think taking a different look at it from what we're going through right now is of most importance. And hopefully this can bring some peace and hope to the situations that you're in, and understanding what the Lord is doing. And so I'm going to start in Psalms 23. And I want to go through the entire chapter, all six verses, and look at David in this situation. And look at how it applies to something of similar of what we're going through right now, economically, naturally, spiritually, emotionally, with what we're going through. And it starts off in verse 1 and says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you, the Lord, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And here's the point I want to highlight here. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." But that verse 5, "you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy," is what is key right now. In through the study of reordering our day, Chuck talks about a dream he had about being teleported like a sci-fi movie into another society, and how this other society wanted to get him to assimilate into their ideals and their culture, as long as he just did what they told him to do. But he knew something inside of him in the dream told him, "Nah, I'm not going to do this." And he was told by the Lord to deal with the head of this society and deal with this issue. But he had to go through that to realize that the exposure is important. And he understood that, like David, who had killed a bear, a lion, and then he had to face Goliath, you know, he had to build up strength, is he had to understand this, and I quote, he said, "The battle around you will materialize very quickly, but already within you is the strength and command from God to remove that which would hinder you from entering into your future." And he says, we are in an apostolic, we are living in an apostolic season of war. And right now we are in a season of exposure. But ultimately is like Chuck in the dream, and like David in those appointed times and seasons with the bear, the lion, and the Goliath, is we have to step up and take the authority that the Lord has called us to walk into. Of he has prepared a place before us. And that's what David is hinting to here of, look, even though we know the war's coming, we're in the war, it's intense, it's coming quickly. Heck, we're in it right now, economically and spiritually speaking. For those who are standing on the wall praying not only for this nation, but the Office of the President, is that, look, the Lord has given you the gifts that you need to be able to walk through it. We just need to find that peace, that place, that river, that shalom, where we can pick up the five smooth stones and we can know what to do, not what the world thinks that we should do, but what the world, you know, putting on the armor of the king or using the gifts that God has given you with a simple slingshot. I know that's very simple, but I think it's very key right now in our season that we're walking in to understand that the Lord will give us peace through this season that we're walking through. He'll give us the anointing, the grace that we need. David was not a perfect man, and neither are we. All sin and fall short of the glory of God. But at the end of the day, we are called for, you know, as in Esther, such a time as this, but we are called to stand up and be ambassadors, be a representation of the kingdom of heaven and bring heaven down to earth. Okay. So with that, I want to look at the top news from some of your mainstream news websites on the January 6th debacle and go through some interesting things that happened last night of the start of the January 6th hearing that has now become a mass media production. As we look at the headlines for CNN of how the hearing revives January 6th horrors and reveals Trump's approval. And when we go through this, January 6th, nothing about, oh, the economy, nothing about, hey, they're Republicans actually putting some things forward, and I'll get to that. You have the headline, first primetime January 6th hearing, scientists lay out possible COVID origins, UK reports Russia struggling to keep lights on for occupied Ukrainians, and just on and on and on and on it goes. But the highlight is January 6th. There's a host of other issues going on in this country. High gas prices. What's the country doing about that? Still trying to figure out why the Uvalde police didn't go in. Parents being upset by that. The new Alabama shooting, which there is actually a little thing on down here. Which it's kind of quite surprising that they would really say that. Talking about Britney Spears and Rebel Will and all this other stuff, which means nothing. Culture wars is what they're going after. But that's CNN, that's ABC, that's CBS. They're all talking about the January 6th thing last night, which revealed a few things. If we understand what God might be doing through this and we look at what happened, is that really nothing came forward that was too revealing other than just the same stuff. Obviously, Liz Cheney goes after Trump. I'm going through a few highlights here and want to make sure that Liz Cheney obviously is blaming Trump, really attacking his character and who he is. And was he perfect in the whole situation? No, but also at the end of the day, of Republicans are watching this and hey, if they get control, they've talked about investigating, even though this has no legal authority to do anything. But one of the things that is really interesting, two things really. The first is that it has come down to talk about and understand that the Capitol Police were completely undermanned, which was known. If you've been following with us since the beginning, we followed this story a little bit at the beginning of how the police chief of the Capitol Police ended up resigning because he realized he made a mistake. He ended up telling people right literally as hours before the whole debacle went down, sent police officers home. I mean, just how the police handled it was just a debauchery in and of itself, a debacle more so. And there was one Capitol Police officer, Caroline Edwards, testimony trying to think and saying that we need more people down here. We were unaware, blah, blah, blah. I'll get to that here in a second. But that's what was coming out. And I'm being very high level on this. But also what was key, and I think this is where if President Trump has any chance, he has to realize this, is that people like his own daughter, Ivanka Trump, and then sitting former Attorney General Bill Barr, spoke out against him and the issues involved around this. And this is a key, this is going to be a key issue for President Trump moving forward. Look, he loves his daughter. He has a very strong relationship with her. And that was ended up being a detriment to him because a lot of the bad policy decisions that he made were when Ivanka and Jared, especially when it comes to Israel, got involved, unfortunately. And so he has to see this. This exposing has to happen, and hopefully he can be humble enough to realize this. And look, Don Jr. is not any better. He has his issues as well. In reality, it would be wise for him to get away from his family and stick with just people who are not his family. He ends up doing better when he makes better decisions on that. But I digress from there. So those are some things that came out from the January 6th panel. Also, what has come out in and around this stuff is from just the news, where they've received intel that Schumer received intel from the FBI, not the Capitol Police Chief. Chuck Schumer's office was given intel and didn't relay it to the Capitol Police. Basically, it got funneled to his office. He should have disseminated it to everybody so that everybody was aware, whether the FBI planned it, whatever, however you want to look at this. It is they knew about it and they didn't do the thing they should have done, which was inform the people involved, which there would most likely have not sent police officers home the morning of. There would have been people there, would have been on higher alert, et cetera, and stuff like that. And so they, Just the News has received documentation that there are emails showing that then sitting Capitol Police Deputy Chief Sean Gallagher emailed top Schumer aide Kelly Fado, who is now the Deputy Sergeant of Arms, the night before, saying he wanted to provide visibility to new intelligence the FBI Threat Analysis Center had received from a website owner, according to documents obtained by Just the News, and understanding that there were issues that came up. Hey, this might happen. Hey, there might be more people. And in reality, is they wanted to know if this was true or not, and a back and forth. Some things that came out that I think questions that need to be answered on this whole issue, and it's not, is brought up, I think, very poignantly by key Republican members, and specifically, I'm trying to want to get the name right, Representative Jim Banks, a chairman of the influential House Republican Study Committee, said that this is really shocking bombshell discovery that shows the political nature of who received intelligence and who did not. He goes on to say that, remember, the Capitol Police Officers Union chief said that they, the rank and file police officers, weren't tipped off to the intelligence, that it was never shared with them, but it was shared with Chuck Schumer's office, a Democratic leader in the Senate. I mean, this is unbelievable. He says, it's unfathomable to think that the intelligence was shared on a political basis to Democratic leaders, but not with anybody else. And that is the greatest example of this type of questions. That is the sham committee should be investigating and digging into, but they're not. And that's been the key issue. Obviously, it's being pointed out by Just the News that what this investigation looks like is it looks like a cover up for Schumer and Pelosi, as they are the ones in charge of making the final decision and the final calls, and Pelosi's office and Chuck Schumer's office were hiding information and not making the calls because it was asked. The Capitol Police Chief at the last minute, what I understand it as, were asking for basically make it a higher threat level so that they could call in and ask for more help from the FBI, the National Guard, etc. And they were denied that. This lays out there. That was the focus of the mainstream news. It will be today. You're going to see it all out there. You're going to see more analysis, probably better analysis. Again, I'm staying high level. We want to go through some other things as well. But again, the information that Chuck Schumer's office had intel, didn't pass it along, is very problematic, and shows the issues as well. Now, yesterday, also the House passed, in their eyes, a bill that will most likely die in the Senate, but in order to push red flag laws throughout the nation, from federal court, which is very problematic. And remember, if you've ever heard anybody, Democrat, Republican, talk about this, whether it be Rubio, Scott, any other Democrat talk about this, and obviously Rubio and Scott are Republicans, they say due process will be upheld in this situation. At least Rubio and Scott understand that it needs to be a state issue and not a federal issue, so this House bill kind of goes against what they want. But I want to point this out. This is from the AP. The House approved a bill that they're considering a red flag law on Thursday that would allow families, police, and others to ask federal court to remove for the removal of firearms from people at extreme risk of harming themselves and others. Based upon what? Number one. Number two, it'll most likely die, stands a little chance, even the AP understands that. But I want you to understand this. Here is the key point of this entire thing and why this proves these red flag laws, even this bill, is unconstitutional. I'm going to read this paragraph. It says 19 states in the District of Columbia currently have such red flag laws. Under the House bill, again, this is the new proposed bill, a judge, reminder, a federal judge could issue an order to temporarily remove and store firearms until a hearing can be held up to 2 weeks later to determine whether the firearms should be returned or kept for a specific period of time. Tell me where due process is involved in any of this. Here's what happens, and this is already happening in states where red flag laws exist. Because it happens in Florida, and it has happened in Florida, is some family member, a scorned person against you, neighbor who doesn't like you, knows you have guns, says, I think that person's a threat because X, Y, and Z. Having no evidence whatsoever. It's just how they feel, their emotions, no factual evidence whatsoever. So they go to a judge, they go to a police chief, they say, hey, this person needs to have their guns taken away because I think they're a harm to themselves, they're a threat to society, et cetera, what the case may be, whether they are or not. The judge says, okay, cool, go seize his guns and then we'll figure it out in court. That is not due process. That is not innocent until proven guilty. That completely circumvents that is what Steve Scalise is saying. That is what will be found out in court when these things are challenged, because eventually somebody's going to stand up and in states where they have these red flag laws and challenge it because this denies due process. So it's only a matter of time. And in reality, I think the exposing, again, this is one of those things, the exposing needs to happen on this issue so that people become fully aware of what these mean and how this circumvents not only due process, but also taking your ability of defending yourself in the Second Amendment as well. Now, on a bit of an economic issue is, as we've hinted towards, campaign season is here, and we've suggested, our opinion is that both sides need, it would just be better if they presented their arguments before you and you can have a debate. Recently, there has been a budget proposed by Rand Paul, Thomas Massie as well in the House, and now more Republicans on the House side are coming forward with a plan to what they're calling the blueprint to save America, which would, they, in their eyes, balance the budget in 7 years, cut $3.9 trillion in taxes, and cut spending over the next 10 years by $16.6 trillion. And you're going to have to go more involved in that in order just to balance a budget that doesn't even get towards paying down the debt that we already have on the books. This is just balancing the budget. And the reason I point this story up and highlight the fact that, you know, Rand Paul is pushing his budget and stuff, is this is what we need. Biden and his campaign and Democrats are campaigning against Rick Scott's horrible budget bill and decisions that he wants to put forward of raising taxes and other things. And so now this is a plan that needs to put forward. And good on these House Republicans for doing this, if not listening to Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy and understanding that, look, we need to have something to run on. We need to have something. Here's our plan. Here's what we want to do. Here's how we want to help you, even during these tumultuous times. They're given the issue of understanding what their responsibility is, and they're doing something. Now, whether others take up responsibility for it or not is totally upon them, but at least they're doing their responsibility of standing up for something, because not only are we $30 trillion in debt and growing, but at the state level, we've talked about this before, but this continues to grow. And I think something we people need to pay attention to, especially as this doesn't just deal with high elected officials, this deals with local issues as well, is that the retirement unfunded pension bomb is growing more and more, as in total of the 50 states, $8.28 trillion in unfunded liabilities in total states, in all the states combined, is in state pensions, meaning that the states have to make up $8.28 trillion in unfunded liabilities that they themselves have guaranteed. And it equals out to nearly $25,000 per person in the United States who will not have a retirement funding. So basically, whatever they think their pension is, subtract $25,000 from that in states for police, state employees, teachers, university workers, judges, lawmakers, et cetera, anybody who has a pension plan with said states. Some states, such as California, Illinois, Texas, New York, at the highest. California has $1.5 trillion. Illinois has $533 billion. Texas, $529 billion with a B, have unfunded liabilities. And this comes from a report released by the American Legislative Exchange Council, who has looked at this, and it's only going to continue to grow as states keep missing their mark on investments that they've made, and in order to make up for lost gains and lost marks that they've missed in the past, they're going to try to take riskier investments, and they're going to continue to miss the mark going forward and forward from there. And that's going to be a problem, because then where does it come from? Is you got to start shifting money around certain places, you got to increase taxes potentially. So this is a bigger issue than people, I think, really realize. This could key in a whole other issues involved in the states. There are some states who are getting more towards 401k style investments rather than pension funds. And this is something that has been on my radar since 2007, 2008, because this was an issue back then. You could see this coming on a host of other levels. And there's also the issue of not just states, but local municipalities as well, of how they're mismanaging at a mass scale their investments and their budget and planning as well. So something to be aware of and pay attention to, and why we need to pray for leaders who actually understand what's going on in this season as we are entering into campaign season and the midterms. So I want to go ahead and put that up here. Let's intercede for both our leaders, the Democrat and Republicans, to have the fear of the Lord when deciding what to do next on this January 6th, the gun issue, funding for local states and even the federal government, of getting things back into order for the original intent of this nation, and in order to stand up for freedom in this nation, so that we can be a nation that spreads the gospel of the kingdom to the nations. And then just a few more things we want to be aware of and understand is the new jobless claims came out the other day. And it was being reported that 229,000 seasonally adjusted unemployment claims rose, again, going in the wrong direction. Some believe this is in anticipation of, for businesses, of a coming recession, trying to lower their cost. And this does not bode well for people who are trying to seek raises and deal with the inflation cause and the whole issue there. This also brings a concerning understanding to more people that the fact of the 3.6 unemployment rate is somewhat starting to be realized as phony, because you can't keep having unemployment and people losing jobs and saying that the economy is healthy. Because of why businesses are making these decisions and understanding that costs are rising, the businesses are going to have to stay in business. They're going to fight for themselves so that eventually they can have jobs for other people. And unfortunately, some people are going to lose their job. It's just the nature of the beast and the game that's at play here. So again, people, leaders need to understand this and realize this when they make decisions as well. And then on an international level for this administration, is they are in talks with the Palestinian Authority in hopes of presenting and getting back towards a two-state solution with the Palestinian Authority. And it's something to be mindful of, as in July, the president is looking at going to Israel and the Middle East. And so what is he going to do? We would just want to be aware of this and understand that it's a key issue, not only for this nation, as Israel is our only ally, really, true ally in the Middle East and that region of the world, and one of the only nation that has true some form of true democracy in that region. And so what does the president looking at doing with everything going on with the Israeli government and the new elections that are most likely coming up, as their government is in disarray there? So we want to be mindful of, okay, what is this administration doing? Where are they headed? What negotiations are they having? And pray for those involved in this situation to have the fear and the wisdom of the Lord to stand up for Israel, to not stand with this two-state solution, as we have been warned by Bob Jones, what will happen next. And then last thing, I do want to reference this, and if you haven't seen it yet, this is not a paid advertisement, but if you've heard of the What is the Woman documentary from Daily Wire, if you have a subscription, if you haven't watched it yet, I would highly, highly suggest you watch it on a cultural and a non-biblical stance. It is a great documentary because it asks a lot of great questions, deals with a lot of people, and shows the fallacy. I think does a very, very good job of exposing the just incapabilities of people willing to use logic and reason and really rely upon the definition of a man and a woman of what the Lord says. But I think it's a key issue for us to also understand is, and I want to play this clip, and because I think it very poignantly highlights the key issue here from Jason Whitlock's Fearless on The Blaze. And he calls, and I think this is an issue, this is a more of a gut check for believers and pastors and leaders and those who say they stand on biblical moral values to stand up to this ideology that is being pushed around, because it wouldn't have any legs within culture if it didn't have the backing of the church.
I think the real problem is with believers, and that we need to reach believers first. Believers have had their definition of man and woman shaken. They've had believers. People,
and that is very true.
People run around claiming that in church every Sunday, Bible study on.
And look, Jason Whitlock is not the strongest believer. He'll admit that. He has his issues. But he is standing up and saying, we need to get back to biblical moral values.
Wednesday, 30, 40 years, same-sex marriage, we got to blah, blah, blah. Believers are supposed to be the light.
Right.
Yes.
And they've dimmed our light to the point that I'm saying, like, this documentary, the target is believers. Turn them lights back on.
And he's specifically pointing to this documentary and kind of pointing some things out of, hey, okay, I think this is a good foundation. Now let's take the step up as believers. Where should we be?
They're off. You have settled for everything they're telling you to settle for.
So when I was mentioning what I have done in the past, what I'm saying is I don't think that was very effective. I don't think it's very effective when you believe something because of the Bible, but you don't refer to the Bible for your case. So right. I'm agreeing with you.
This is pointing out the issue of what goes on in the documentary. And again, Daily Wire is not going to bring up biblical moral values. They're going to stay cultural. They're going to stay quote unquote scientific, which brings me to something that somebody else said in this documentary that I think is very, very, very poignant. So I want to skip to this point here.
Your show with Shamika and Jill, they both did a great job. I will tell you, I think what came out was some female empathy saying, yeah, but Matt did a pretty good job. Let's not kill him too bad. I think the reality is the movie itself was very, very good, but there are things to pick up, particularly if you're a Christian. And they said, well, now it's a conversation starter. Yes, but tons of people aren't going to watch Fearless with Jason Whitlock the same as they're going to watch this.
And sorry for the lip sync issues there. The video seems kind of...
It's still going. Matt Walsh is getting death threats right now, right? It's going to just keep going. And so people are watching that movie. That's, if that's the only piece of content that they get, it needed to be there. And again, you don't need to revamp everything. You don't need to throw out all the psychiatrists and pediatricians and just replace them with pastors and priests. You just put something at the end to acknowledge that this is the truth, whether you accept it or not, and it needs to be heard. And so... The other thing, to Bobby's point, that, well, if you put that in, they discarded. Well, the good thing about being on the right side of this is that God's truth has secular evidence.
That right there, that line right there from that gentleman, God's truth has secular evidence. And if we can't understand that and stand up for that, then we have to realize, is our argument really biblical? Because again, if it's God's truth, if it's biblical moral values, if it's foundational within the Bible, it will have secular evidence, and it proves out on the gender issue, on abortion, on other issues as well. And this is what we mean by having biblical moral values and standing and praying for that for this nation and for the office of the president, of making sure that those who are in leadership have, especially on this whole gender ideology, LGBTQ type stuff, is do they have the fear of the Lord, and are they listening to the Holy Spirit when they're making decisions? And it starts in the church, number one. So we need to repent for where we're at and at the church, and then stand and be in involvement in relationship with our leaders so that they are aware that we're paying attention and know of the guidelines and the foundations that this nation was built upon and that they need to continue to walk in. So with that, I want to end. Thank you all for following along with us. Let's continue to pray for the Supreme Court justices, their families, and the safety as they come closer, possibly Monday, maybe later, as we're getting further into June and closer to July of the end of the term, where they're most likely will release their opinions, as they've been releasing some other opinions as well. And today at noon, we have a release of a prophetic word and something we're going after that I think is very poignant, of something we want to re-highlight again. So that's it for this week. I'll be back at noon to give an update on some key issues there. And we will then see you guys on Sunday as well. So blessings. And I hope you guys have a great rest of your week and weekend. See you guys on Monday.